This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, you're with Lee Chui Lin, and this hour we're talking about how Subang Jaya has achieved city status. It's been declared a city by the Sultan of Selangor. So Sultan Sharafuddin Idris Shah was the one who declared it, and it's the third in Selangor, with the other two being Shah Alam and PJ. And Subang has achieved this because it's met the conditions to become a city, namely that is having a population of more than 100,000 people and making an annual income of more than 20 million ringgit. So all of this means that Subang Jaya will go through a few changes. Their municipal council, for instance, has become a city council. So MPSJ is now going to be MBSJ. And they also get their own mayor, effective today, Nuraini Roslan, who is the former president of MPSJ. So on his hopes for the new city, Sultan Sharafuddin said that he would like sustainable development efforts to be continued and also for surrounding localities to benefit. And yeah, so basically we're welcoming a brand new city in the state of Selangor today, and we're going to be speaking after this with Wong Chen, who is the Member of Parliament for Subang. I guess what we want to cover includes just what kinds of opportunities are we talking about? How significant is this for people who reside in Subang? And also, what kinds of developments are the people of Subang hoping to get, or people of Subang Jaya, I should say, hoping to get out of this? If you do live in Subang or you are from Subang Jaya, you can let us know, how do you feel about Subang Jaya becoming a city or being declared the third city in the state of Selangor? You can call us with your thoughts, 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Just very briefly, already getting messages. Raj is saying, city status but got no water, shrug, which is very much a sentiment, I have to say, that is coming through on a lot of comments in terms of Facebook, things like that. So you're definitely not alone. We also have this message saying the same thing. Doesn't matter whether it's a town or a city, USJ is always hit hardest with water woes, so no difference between a city or a kampung. I just want to say that actually, as someone who has been affected by the water recently, you know, pretty much everyone living in the Klang Valley has had this experience, if not this year, or rather, if not in the last few weeks, then at least in this year, nothing makes you feel furthest from a first world country than losing your water. So I agree with the sentiment. I get it. I think it really kind of, it is very upsetting on a very basic level. So yes, that aside though, tell us, if you live in Subang Jaya, or you know, if you're from Subang Jaya, how do you feel about it being made a city, and what would you like to see come from this? If you can also, you know, you can keep sending in your thoughts on water as well. I understand a lot of people are affected by this. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It's 7:13, you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're talking today about Subang Jaya being declared a city by the Sultan of Selangor, Sultan Sharafuddin Idris Shah, which makes it the third city in Selangor, with the other two, of course, being Shah Alam as well as Petaling Jaya. And so, yeah, we just wanted to know what that would actually mean for Subang Jaya, and also how you feel. I mean, especially if you are a resident of Subang, you can let us know your thoughts and questions by calling us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. And in the meantime, we're crossing over to Wong Chen, who's the Member of Parliament for Subang. It's always good to have you with us. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So maybe let's start with this. How long has Subang Jaya been awaiting this upgrade from municipal status to city status?
I think about 5 years plus. The application was made in 2014. We basically met all the criteria of, you know, 500,000 population and the revenue above 100 million a year.
And what is the process and cost involved in that? So it's taken 5 years. What was that like?
Well, it's an application, and that the government needs to support it, the Selangor government. I think the snag could be due to administrative issue or not to push the thing too fast. But generally, we met the criteria a lot longer than that, in the sense that, you know, the revenue of Subang Jaya is about 250 million to 300 million a year. So I think everybody is quite stoked and quite pleased with this outcome. So we're glad that it's finally here.
So that answers, I guess, my next question, which is going to be, how are you feeling about this? Are you also stoked and pleased?
Well, I think this is the big thing. It's a move to a city status. And I hope this will inspire the city to rise to the challenge, you know, set higher bars, inject more professionalism, get more creative, adopt green solutions, things like that. Once you have a city status, it's much more important and you can get some international recognition as well.
Mm. And would you say that there is some sense of civic pride to achieving city status? And is that something that you're feeling or that you've noticed from the residents of Subang Jaya?
Well, some community leaders say that we're not ready because we still have, perennial problems regarding garbage collection, water issue, of course, is a big issue. But I think overall, the mood is positive. And I'm just happy to think that we are now a city and that we could, you know, start doing really good things like, you know, holding international events, art festivals, film festivals. I've been to a human rights city in Korea. It just gives you the extra niche and the extra kick. I think generally most people are quite pleased with this outcome.
Actually, can I follow up on that? So, when you were saying that earlier about festivals and events, so I know that this year, at least, we're quite a while away from that happening. But in future, what element does being a city add to that?
It's just that you are now recognized as a city. So if someone looks in Malaysia and then all the cities in Malaysia, you are just one of those. So then you got to go out and reach out and try to brand yourself as something. I mean, Subang Jaya, right, is quite unique. It's really, I think, the real suburbia of Malaysia. If you go to this area, there's a lot of universities around, so you have a lot of young, vibrant people. You got great burgers here. You know, there's a milk tea revolution here. So there's this excitement about Subang, and it's relatively peaceful. It's low on crime. You know, there are, of course, problems, but I think we're on top of it, generally. Yeah, so this kind of thing, this good vibe about it, is just excellent. I think Malaysia needs much more younger cities to push the agenda on so many fronts, on the arts front, on human rights and stuff like that.
So we have a very simple question here from a listener, Long Long, who says, what's the difference between, you know, being a city and being a municipality? I mean, what advantages does a city get? Some of which you've answered, but I think, you know, in the simplest of terms, what would that be?
Well, there's actually no real change. The change now is just it's a recognition. And that recognition can inspire us to go to the next level. I think that's really the ultimate issue here. There's not going to be higher taxes or more revenue collection. It just gives you this extra nudge. Sometimes, you know, like the stock market, it's all about confidence. It's just not really a tangible item. So I think that's that bit. It's like graduating from university. You're going to the next level. So that excitement has to come through. And it's a wonderful thing to try to utilize as much as we can.
What changes can we expect then in terms of community development and infrastructure in Subang Jaya?
Well, again, it's an intangible thing. So it gives you this pride. I hope that the councillors and the mayor sit down and try to work out a proper system and try to push forward for, you know, greater transparency, greater accountability. I think it's just the impetus we need, especially in this COVID-19 situation where everything is just so down, right? For us, for the MP, there's also Gobind Singh, who is also, you know, the MP for Puchong. The MPs will play a national level kind of, you know, connecting you to another country, perhaps a sister city. The Ardons will play a bigger role. Of course, they are more attached to the community. I think just generally everybody's kind of happy with this new development.
So you mentioned the MPSJ. How does the role of MPSJ change now that it's being recognised as MBSJ? Does it give them any more authority in matters, for instance, such as roadworks, waste management, things like that?
No. The land or the jurisdiction has not expanded. It's still the same.
Mm.
Yeah. So the physical aspect is all the same, right? It's just that this is I hate to sound like a broken record, but it's really the intangible thing that is pushing up this value as a status of a city. Then the next thing, I mean, concrete things we can do is try to reach out to another city, presumably a city that we aspire to, maybe a green city somewhere, and then try to get diplomatic relations going. We will rebrand the whole, you know, the whole infrastructure. We can try to do something about hosting events, things like that. Yeah, it just opens up possibilities.
So we do have long, long back to say, thank you for the answer. Would we have a metropolis next? You can combine PJ Shah Alam and Subang Jaya for a full metropolitan area.
No, I don't see Subang Jaya to be a metropolitan area. It is really a comfortable place to live. It's got everything from education to great restaurants and all that. But it's not, there's no more land to expand to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a metropolis is very, very unlikely. A very comfortable, beautiful, safe, peaceful city. Yes, we're on the way to that.
Yeah, I shudder to think of the traffic on the highways, actually, if we were to do anything like that.
Absolutely. I mean, the traffic is quite horrendous. There are a few things that I do want to propose for the new city. Just, you know, push the transparency and accountability agenda much more. We get a lot of complaints, even though it's not really our jurisdiction, we do get complaints from constituents regarding, you know, traffic flow problem and stuff like that. Usually, it's always the dispute always starts from, you know, a lot of professional people living in that area, yeah, trying to get information from government and government pushing back or saying that these are official secrets we cannot share with you. So I think those governance issues can be improved. And also, I fully support a local government election very soon.
Mm. So we do have a message here, a bit of feedback, if anything, from Alvin, who, in line with that idea of traffic, says, lived in Subang for 33 years. It changed absolutely nothing. It's already jammed like a city for more than 20 years. But I do want to add, in recent years, that the authorities have done a really good job in making traffic conditions better. So a very big thumbs up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've seen improvements there, but I have like 2-3, you know, constant complaints from a few constituents that is asking for a traffic light here or asking this to be diverted. You know, they face a wall of or lack of information on the authorities, and that gives me trouble to push the authorities to disclose the traffic studies.
Mm.
So, you know, I think just being more transparent and therefore by that account more accountable is going to be greater for Subang's growth, you know, and make it better for everybody. The traffic thing we can't do much because it's a growing city, and there are limited amounts of roads, so we really have to focus on improving public infrastructure and transport.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually. We also have a question from Raj who wants to know, are there considerations to build a more sustainable smart city, or if I can add on to that, to adapt some of what is existing in Subang Jaya for more sustainability?
I think we can, that's for sure. But we still need the basic governance structure, and elected government will be useful. Again, we can seek a sister city tie-up. I don't know what, on top of my head, which city is really at the forefront of green technology. But I assume the nearest one to us will probably be somewhere in Korea, you know, or Taiwan. And then we can explore that and try to get some direction and some experience from them, because we really need to adopt and then adapt it to the Subang Jaya situation.
A message here from Fyrus, who wants to know, will this status change actually affect the property market then, i.e. the price?
I think it will boost it a little bit because, you know, it's that everybody wants to live in a city, right? But property has been quite low for the last 2 or 3 years. So I don't see any boost, immediate boost. But it just gives you the extra confidence and extra attraction to live in a city. So I think over the next decade or so, you will see steady increases in prices. Or at least if you bought a house, you'll see the value retaining or improving over time.
Hmm. And it's early days yet. I mean, we're catching you on, I think, the day that it's being announced. But in the short term, and considering all the intangible benefits that you've been talking about, what are the next steps? Or I suppose, what can residents in Subang Jaya look forward to in the short term?
I don't think much, because the year is coming to an end, right? So I think they're going through a budgetary process at the moment. And then we have the COVID-19 issue. But I think immediately, the first quarter of next year, there should be a lot more engagement with the public, because now we are a city. We should be more transparent, more accountable. Those kind of things will then produce results for the, you know, 6 months down the line or 9 months down the line after that. So we should really see some big stuff happening by the year 2022. That's my opinion anyway, in terms of timeline, right?
Mm.
So you were already at the end of 2020. You need 1 year to get feedback, direction, so on and so forth, and then implement in the year 2022.
So the first quarter of next year would be a good time to check back in with you then?
Absolutely, I think. But you should actually speak to the media. You know, the Member of Parliament, we give an overview, helicopter view of things. The mayor or even the ADUN, the councillors are going to be very important. They have a role to play. We generally do not sit in meetings. The Members of Parliament, Gobind and myself, we don't sit in meetings of the MBSJ now, mm-hmm. right? But we do send our officers there to hear and listen. And we can play a role to link them up to federal government issues, to diplomatic issues overseas as well. So I think Gobind and I are ready to stand by and help in those aspects.
Wang Chen, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening.
Yeah, most welcome. Thank you.
That was Wang Chen, who is, of course, the Member of Parliament for Subang, weighing in on the benefits of Subang Jaya being declared a city, which is actually the third in Selangor, with the other two being Shah Alam and Petaling Jaya. Again, if you are a resident of Subang Jaya or if you were from there, you can let us know what you think of this. What do you make of it? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Right now, we have the Beach Boys with Surf and Safari, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.